What best meets our deepest need? What is the best fit for humanity? Now this morning we're going to look at the passage in Matthew's Gospel that I read. And not surprisingly, the answer to the question that I'm asking is Jesus. Jesus meets our deepest need, and we're going to think why that is. The bit of Matthew's Gospel that we read, as grown-ups we're beginning to work through Matthew's Gospel. The chapter begins with a long list of names, which I didn't read today. We looked at that last week. A long list of names which trace the family line of Jesus all the way into the depths of history. And Matthew is trying to show that when Jesus the Messiah is born, he comes at a point that all of history has been preparing for. And then our passage focuses our attention on Joseph. There he is. That'll do. Now, Joseph is pledged to be married to Mary. They're in love. There we go. We don't know too much about Joseph. He's a very ordinary man. He's doing what people at his time did when a man reached a certain age. They got engaged to be married. And the engagement in those days, this being pledged to be married, wasn't like it is today. Now, this engagement between Joseph and Mary was a formal thing. They would have a contract. They would have witnesses. It was a binding agreement that would typically last for about a year. And then at the end of the year, they'd have a big wedding party when they'd start their life together. And that's what Joseph and Mary have done. Now, they've been pledged to one another, and they're waiting for their big day. And then Joseph's world shatters. It says in the passage, but before they came together, before that great wedding party, she was found to be pregnant. Joseph isn't the dad. The only reasonable explanation is that Mary has found somebody else. That there's another man in Mary's life other than Joseph. And so Joseph feels betrayed and embarrassed and angry and devastated. You see, for Joseph, he would have had this idea of what was going to happen in his life. It was planned out. He knew, you know, he'd get married, he'd settle down, he'd have children, they'd do these things. But now that idea is crumpled with a piece of terrible news. And when we hear the Christmas story, the news of Mary getting pregnant is good news. It wasn't for Joseph, it was bad news. Terrible news. Mary is pregnant. The passage we're looking at this morning will take us on something of a roller coaster ride of wonders. But there are things in this passage that I want us to try and see this morning that will think things that are unmeasurable in their importance. Things that are just mind-blowingly wonderful. But the passage begins with this man, Joseph, a typical man. Somebody who is disappointed with what has happened in life. Now, if you met Joseph at this point and you said to him, Joseph, what do you need most? He doesn't know what's going to happen, so he'd probably say he needs to make the best of a bad situation. Now, life has dealt him lemons, so he's looking up recipes for lemonade. And that's what he does. He's a fair guy, we're told. He's compassionate. He doesn't get what's happened to Mary. We don't know how much they got to talk about it. So he makes plans. He wants to end the engagement in a way that will cause the least trouble. He wants to protect Mary. But he knows that the marriage cannot go on. It has to stop. And actually, he's afraid. That's what the angel says to him. And the angel speaks and the angel says, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. So underneath his careful planning, his organising of a way out of the predicament, underneath it, he's afraid. And I wonder whether that's not just a portrait of how we live most of our lives. So we have our dreams, we have our plans and our expectations of what life is going to be. And then it doesn't happen as we imagine. And we're disappointed. And unless that completely crushes us, we just try to make the best of it. Now, this morning I want us to think about the question of what will meet our deepest need. But I think that if we are brutally honest with ourselves, even though we know the answer is Jesus, I wonder if we really know that the answer is Jesus. Now, I wonder if as we sit here this morning, whether each of us, with whatever's going on in our lives at the moment, kind of bubbling around, with that mixture of dreams and expectations and disappointments, I wonder how much we're actually like Joseph at the beginning of the story, trying to make the best of what's been thrown at us. And like for Joseph, the person and work of Jesus the Messiah, it's not really on the agenda. Well, what happens next? It says, an angel of the Lord appears to him in a dream. Now, the angel confirms what we know already. It's not an ordinary pregnancy. Mary hasn't got another man, but this pregnancy has come about by the Holy Spirit. And in all of that, Joseph has a key role. You see the first thing that the angel says to Joseph in verse 20? The angel comes and says, Joseph, son of... What does she say? What does the angel say? David. Son of David. Joseph can trace his family line back to the great King David. And David had been promised that one of his descendants would be the forever king. And so Joseph is commanded by the angel. The angel says to Joseph, you, Joseph, you are to give him, the child, the name Jesus. That is critical. When Joseph comes to name the child, it's a way of Joseph taking responsibility, adopting the child, treating the child as his own, legally as his own. Now that's what it means for Joseph to name the child. And when he does that, then this child is counted as a descendant of David. Now hundreds of years earlier, when David got those great promises that the one of his descendants would be the forever king, after that point, the people just got more entangled in their sin, but as they do, the promises grew and grew and grew. And now they've been fulfilled. Now who is this child? The angel says to Joseph, you're to give him the name Jesus. It's the name Joshua. It's the same word, same meaning. It means the Lord saves. Now that's standard Old Testament theology. As Psalm 3 says, salvation belongs to the Lord. Saving in a great ultimate final sense. Saving, that is the work of the Lord. It belongs to the realm of the Lord's activity. Something only the Lord can do. Salvation is from the Lord. The Lord saves. So this child, that you are to give him, this child, the name Jesus. You're to name him the Lord saves. And why is that? Well, listen very carefully to what the angel says. The angel says, because he will save his people from their sins. The angel loads all the emphasis on the he. He himself. Call him the Lord saves, because this child, this is the one who will save. You see who the child is? The angel doesn't say, because through this child the Lord will save. Doesn't say that this child will be an instrument in the hands of the Lord. No, salvation belongs to the Lord, and the Lord is the one who saves, and this child is the one who saves. So this child, this is the Lord. Matthew immediately backs that up with an appeal to Scripture in verse 22. And he goes back to the prophet Isaiah. Now, Isaiah chapter 7, he quotes it. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Now, the Bible had foreseen all of this. That the Bible had foreseen that the virgin would give birth. And there would be this miracle birth. And the child who is born would be called God with us. Now again, Isaiah prophesied a couple of chapters later, chapter 9. He said, to us a child is born. A child. A human child, a kicking, screaming baby, a child is born. And then he says, to us a son is given. And he will be called Mighty God. He will reign on David's throne forever. The same person, the child, this human child, this is God with us. The same person, this child, this is Mighty God. Now that's why when these things come to their fulfillment, the conception is of the Holy Spirit. You see, God is eternal, He's unchangeable, He's unmovable. God is so far beyond our comprehension that we only grasp just the outside part of the things that He does. God is incomparably glorious, and He's uncontainably holy, and He's mighty beyond our wildest imagining. The Bible only knows of one God. God is one. We sung it this morning. There's only one God. He is the Lord Almighty, and this God took to Himself a human nature so that this child could be called Emmanuel. This is the Son who is given. You notice the subtlety of what Isaiah prophesies? That not that the Son was born, but the child was born, and God the Son added to Himself that human nature, joined that human nature to His person. So that in that one person of God the Son, we find the full and true natures of both God and man. That they're not divided, they're not separated, they're not confused. They cannot be separated or changed. That's what Joseph is told. Now this child in Mary's womb, this is the Messiah, fully God and fully man. Both natures united in the one person, the greatest of all miracles. Are you following me? Joseph's heart is broken because Mary gets pregnant. He knows he's not the daddy. He tries to make the most of the disappointment. He doesn't know that this baby will meet his needs in ways that he can't imagine. So the angel appears to him in this dream and says it's no ordinary pregnancy because this baby is fully God and fully man. And the reason is that only as such can he meet our deepest needs. Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, perfect to save all that I am. Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, perfect to save all that I am. That's what the angel says, isn't it? You have to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And all of human hope hangs here. Right the way back in Eden, right the way back in the creation, when Adam and Eve rebelled against God, right from that moment that sin entered the world and the whole of creation became crippled and the fabric of the cosmos was dislocated and people were separated from the blessings of God and existed from then on under the shadow of death. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And all sin deserves to face the deserved, unquenchable anger of God. Right back then in Eden, when sin came into the world, hand in hand, came a promise. A gospel promise, right there, back, Genesis 3:15. God promised that the day would come when someone would be born. It would be the seed of a woman. The offspring of a woman who would stamp on the head of the serpent. And one day someone would be born who would restore everything lost in creation. And then a long time after that, Abraham was promised that the seed of Abraham, that someone would be born into Abraham's line who would bring blessing to the whole world. All those creation blessings would be restored through the descendant of Abraham. And then years after that, a long time afterward, the King David came, the great King David, and David was promised that the seed of David, someone would come born into David's line who would establish an eternal reign of peace. And so in the fullness of time, the Lord took on flesh and was born of Mary and became a man. And it happened so that in fulfillment of the ancient prophecy, Jesus the Messiah might be that seed of the woman who crushes the head of the serpent. And it happened so that in fulfillment of the ancient prophecy, Jesus the Messiah might be the seed of Abraham through whom creation blessings reach all the nations. And it happened so that in fulfillment of the ancient prophecy, Jesus the Messiah might be that seed of David and take his place on the eternal throne, ushering in the final, everlasting reign of peace. And it's only as the God-man that he could be that sort of saviour. Only as the God-man, Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, perfect to save all that I am. You see, to save his people from their sins, he must enable those sins both to receive the punishment that justice deserves and find a way to protect the people from that punishment. And so that's why the Lord himself assumed the human nature. Because he wanted to come himself to stand in the place of people and be a substitute for his people. You see, that the Lord didn't come to save the angels, otherwise he would have been made like the angels. He didn't come to save cats and dogs, otherwise he would have been made like cats and dogs. He came to save people. That's why he was made a human. That's why he was made like us. He came to save people. So he became a human. Just right. Perfect. To be punished for our sin. That only as man could God be punished for sin. Only as God could that punishment be sufficient and just for the whole sin of all his people. Jesus the Messiah is the God-man, fully God and fully man, perfect to save all that I am. It's the only way he could meet the deepest need of all his people. The only way he could rescue from our sin. The only way he could save us from the death we deserve and bring us into the eternal life that we don't. And the Bible tells us very clearly that the deepest need of all people is that we've sinned. And the wages of our sin is death, and our sin ruins us and it ruins the world. And it separates us forever from God. Our sin will determine our eternity. Unless there's one who can save from our sins. Your sin will determine your eternity unless there's one who can save from your sins. So the angel says to Joseph, you're to give him the name Jesus. Because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus the Messiah is the only one able to save because he's the only one perfectly fitted to meet our deepest need. Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, perfect to save all that I am. I don't think Joseph understood all of that. To be honest, I'm not sure I do. But you see how Joseph reacted? Verse 24 says, when Joseph woke up, he carried on with his plans to divorce Mary. No, he didn't. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Joseph acted in trust on what he'd been told. How about you? And what best fits our deepest need? The answer is Jesus. It's only Jesus. It can't be anything other than Jesus. But as you sit here this morning, do you really know that the answer is Jesus? Are we content just to keep muddling along, trying to make the best of our disappointments? Would you turn your heart to Jesus and act in trust on what the Bible says? Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, perfect to save all that I am. The one who can save you from your sins. He can bring you to life with God. Would you fix your faith on him? The Emmanuel, Jesus the Messiah, God with us. God with us. That was what he was called, Emmanuel, God with us. And then the baby grew, died, rose again. And before he ascended back to heaven, his final words recorded in Matthew's Gospel, the very end of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus promises, Emmanuel promises, God with us promises, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.